10 minutes of fun. Ooh, summer is here again. Listen to our advice, my friend. So settle down. Listen to our sound. Summer segment here to stay. Everything's gonna be okay.
As that truly inspirational music fades away, you are of course listening to I'm Stumped. This week we're focusing on a wider topic than we have been recently, of the world. Teachers may be on strike, but allow us to enlighten you. Greece may default, but we'll try not to frighten you. Let us line your wallets with advice. Hello and welcome. I'm Chris Beale, and with me as always is
Sean Cassidy, and it's good to be here, Chris.
Back from Glastonbury, surviving the mud and the rain. But first of all, let's just jump straight into our questions. Let's start dishing out the advice as soon as possible. So hit me with that first question, Sean.
And recently, I think over the past few days, we've had a letter sent in by Mr. David C. And David C. says, "Dear, I'm stumped. I've taken your advice in previous podcasts, but my co-workers and staff are now unruly and don't do what I tell them. Apparently, they haven't been turning up for work, and everyone is rebelling. I wondered what I should do to control them."
Does he expand on what action they're taking? Are they are they striking?
Apparently, Mr. David C. has angered them by it. Making harsh rules on their future pensions and payments, and his staff don't like that. So apparently they've refused to work for him or anyone else on the 30th of June, I think it is. And so no one in, I think it's Mr. David C. says, civil service is turning for work.
Well, I just listened to the news as it was to prepare for this podcast, and they gave a statement from the head of the one of the unions, and he said that he thought that David C's decision was very childish, and if he continues this way, he'll be put on the naughty step.
Oh dear. Not very good news or good publicity for Mr. David C, is it?
I don't know. I don't know your opinion on this, Sean, but it just seems that the government that we have at the moment just seems to be cutting our future, really. It's like they've taken away funding from university, so we're not going to have anyone to work here, so we're going to have to employ these people from abroad, which will make people really cross about losing all their jobs. They're now, you know, ruining teachers' jobs when they're trying to teach kids. So what do you think?
It seems like they are trying to make an enemy of people in education, aren't they? For a start, raising the tuition fees to, I think it was about £9,000, and now sending the teachers on strike, which means that thousands of people across the country today aren't going to get an education. So clearly something's up.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems very short-sighted to me. You know, how they can say, because isn't it like one of the slogans that they use, which is like, "We're for the future" or whatever. Oh, well, I know that the Conservative ones for change, but they don't seem to be changing quite in the right direction, do they?
Well, they seem to be making an enemy out of people they shouldn't be, put it that way.
Are you trying to be diplomatic here, Sean?
I am trying to be. I'm sitting on the fence while you go off on your pro-teacher rant here. Striking just doesn't have a knock-on effect on, or just doesn't have an effect on the teachers themselves. It has an effect on like the families, because where are the kids going to go when there's no school? What's going to happen? That means people have to take time off work or find other arrangements. And it has like a knock-on effect on the whole economy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but doesn't that then show how valuable teachers are if it causes so much of a kerfuffle when they're not around?
Well, yes, but you only strike, like you said, you strike to get noticed, don't you? It's whether Mr. David C. is going to now change his ways, and just because people are taking a day off work when they shouldn't have. Does that mean he's now going to change the rules completely, does it?
I don't know. I don't know. I feel that we're getting into an argument that could destroy our podcast, so... I think we'll leave Mr. David C. with the advice that he should...
Never send us a letter again.
So, onward with our second question. We've had a couple of similar questions to this from our worried listeners out there. They say that they're planning on taking a holiday in Greece. Is that still a good idea? Well, what's your feelings on this then, Sean?
Well, it's been in the news again, as well as the teachers on strike. And I've seen the pictures, and it doesn't look like the type of place where you want to go for a suntan and lie down on the beach, because it's a riot in the streets, people throwing chairs, the police using grenades and smoke to try and stop protesters from attacking the parliament and everything else. It just doesn't look a very nice place to go for a nice relaxing week.
No, you're right. And also all the public services, a bit like here really. I mean, we're having a bit of a... Well, I guess our trains just don't run on time and theirs just aren't running. Because...
It's good enough reason for that, I think.
Well, yeah, not for the fact that ours don't run on time. There's no real reason for that.
We discussed that in an earlier podcast, didn't we?
Yes, we did. Yes, that was a throwback to all of you listeners. So, but yes, so the only way of getting round is the metro, which is supposed to be quite a risque place. Anyway, a lot of crime on those, but. Yeah, you could help the economy by going over there. I mean, I imagine the euro is quite weak at the moment, isn't it, Sean?
It's not very strong compared to the other currency.
Well, that's kind of what I just said by saying it's weak. And you're like, well, strong.
put me on the spot there, Mr. Economics.
Mr. Economics.
But Greece is known for its plate smashing, isn't it? You go to certain Greek restaurants and try to smash plates. But they seem to be doing a whole lot more than smashing plates at the moment, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, smashing tables and chairs and
everything else.
They're a bit of a violent nation, I would say. If that's not too bold to say. No offence to all of you Greeks listening.
Hello there, and welcome to the news. It's been a busy week of protests in Greece, and now in the UK, where people are on strike. But it was a happier time over the weekend in Somerset in Glastonbury, where we endured torrential rain, sun, and great music. Among the artists to perform were U2, Coldplay, Elbow, Radiohead, Pulp, and a whole load more. Superstars, including Beyonce, and the atmosphere was electric, and everything went really, really well, apart from the rain, the mud, and the horrible festival toilets.
Hang on a minute there, Sean. I have to cut you in on that point. That's a bit unprofessional of me, but what about that Conservative member who was found dead in one of the toilets?
Yeah, I heard about that when I got a tweet. On, I think it was Saturday night, from one of my friends in Liverpool, and he said, "Did you kill the Tory guy in the bog?" I'm like, I haven't heard of this. There was a guy who went missing on the Saturday morning, or Friday morning, I'm not sure, Friday afternoon, I'm not sure which, and then he was found the day after, sitting in the toilet, and he'd been left there. Obviously, I think he'd had a heart attack or something.
Yeah, the police have decided that it's not anything to be considered like a murder. But that sounds like a bit of a bum deal, doesn't it? Dying on the toilet.
He literally dropped dead when he was having a drop, didn't he? But I wouldn't be surprised if the smell had killed him. The smells for those toilets are absolutely appalling. Wasn't a very nice place to go to the toilet, to be honest.
Talking of port-a-loos, In future news, really, of the next year to come, thousands of fans were disappointed to hear that Glastonbury will not be showing or be taking place next year due to the Olympic Games being held in this country. This is down to the fact that we do not own enough portable toilets to use in both the Olympics and also in Glastonbury, which I think is just rubbish. Surely there's enough toilets to go around, or you can like. We don't have enough. I just don't understand how we cannot have enough toilets in our country for these events. I mean,
it's not very, it's not very professional, is it? To be honest, there were other reasons why it was supposedly left vacant for a year, because the fields were in a terrible mess at the end of this year, and apparently the Michael Evis, who runs the festival, he wanted to go and watch some of the Olympics, so there were all sorts of rumours why it wasn't going to be taking place in 2012. I'm not sure which one's the correct one, though.
Yeah. Do you want to lead us into the sporting news then, Sean?
Sporting news.
Okay, fine. I'll lead us into the sporting. Hello, and welcome to the sporting news. This week we have the highlights of the tennis. Obviously, these have obviously dominated the BBC broadcasts as well as the Glastonbury, as we were talking about a second ago. It's been quite an exciting tournament, and the finals are being showed in many different cinemas across the country in 3D, which is the first time that's ever happened, so that's quite a momentous occasion. Andrew Murray is doing very well in the tournament at the moment, and there are rumours that they're going to rename that hill, which is called Hemman Hill, to be Murray Mount, as now Henmond has retired. And that was
the news. Can you warm to Andy Murray's? It's like when he wins, he's British, and when he loses, he's Scottish. So that's what people think of him.
What's
here.
It about all of these noises that they keep making? I mean, I turned on the telly, and my mum came in because she thought I was watching some sort of porn film. I was watching the women's tennis. I just wasn't going, ugh! Sounds like those people that have been on those Portaloos, Sean.
Not in the case of that Tory guy, no.
No, that just like, oh, my heart! I would have hated to be that person that opened that Portaloos door. I mean, can you imagine? Do you reckon
I think there's a big difference, though, between what you've been talking about, the Portaloos in Wimbledon and Glastonbury, because on the one hand there's the baseline, and on the other hand there was the flat line, wasn't it?
Oh, dear.
I've seen Hawkeye, by the way. I'm amazed at Hawkeye. The technology they use to find out if the ball's crossed the white line or something.
Oh, yeah.
Fits in or out.
Yeah.
It's amazing how accurate it can be. All the computer programs that.
They just love taking photos of balls, I guess.
Indeed, yes.
Well, I want to thank everyone again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast about the world. If you have any other questions about what's going on in the world, then check out the BBC News website. We really have no more to say about the matter.
But you can also find us on iTunes as well. Just type in I'm Stumped Podcast, or I'm Stumped on iTunes, and you'll be able to find us.
Also, you can Facebook us, tweet us, you can send us an email, imstumpedpodcast@hotmail.co.uk.
Yep. Or you can find us on Podomatic. Just go on the Podomatic website, search for I'm Stumped, and we will come up, because we're in the top 100 for comedy. Believe it or not.
We are indeed. So thank you to all of you for getting us there. We love you all, except for you. Yes, you. We hate you. But not really. We do. So, hope you enjoyed, and we will see you next Tuesday. Thursday. Or sometime in the week. I've been Chris Beale.
And I've been Sean Cassidy.
Goodbye, everybody.
10 minutes is gone. 10 minutes, it's done.